good Thursday. Thanks for being with us. Sports360AZ.com. I'm Brad Sussmat. It is a very busy baseball trade deadline. The Diamondbacks working on several deals. I'll go through that as the show moves on today. Joe Gil Martin is going to be with us in studio. Joe is going into the Basketball Hall of Fame for the Kirk Gowdy Award. Joe Gil Martin was a larger-than-life, and in my mind still is a larger-than-life, personality here in Arizona. Without Joe Gil Martin, a lot of things would not have been accomplished in the sports world through his years as a columnist, his years as a personality. Joe is going to be here in studio here in a few minutes. We'll talk with him on going into the Basketball Hall of Fame. That will be next week. Goody at the movies today. I'm out of here tomorrow. So Goody's coming in today, and Bill and I will do our thing. Guardians of the Universe, I saw it the other night, and it was terrific. It's the best movie I've seen this year by far, guys. If you've got a dry sense of humor, or you're a guy that just isn't all that serious, you need to unplug and have some fun, this is a fun 2-hour and 1-minute ride. So we'll talk with Goody about that, because all the sports stuff I'll get you caught up on as well. You need to have a life outside of this stuff. Let's get you caught up on the what's in my mind of the world of sports, brought to you by the Honda Resort and Casino. Honda Resort and Casino, just outside the Pine Top in the beautiful White Mountains. The Honda Resort and Casino. You can get away from it all and win the big cash, pull down the slots, eat great food, have some fun, and do it in an area of the state that is just terrific this time of year. I mean, year-round, it's great in the White Mountains, but this time of year in particular, great temperatures, the monsoons have rolled through, they've greened everything up, cooled things off. It's just outside of Pine Top. As you're going through your week, the hustle and bustle, why not plan to get away and go up to the Honda Resort and Casino? Honda Resort and Casino, just outside of Pine Top, in the beautiful White Mountains. Nationally, Ray Rice spoke today about his situation, and I've been very unhappy with the National Football League. I was actually pleasantly surprised with some of what I heard out of Ray Rice, but this is not something you just automatically say, well, he's got it all figured out, and how much of it was PR. Actually, as I watched this intently over and over here in the last hour, actually saw somebody that had remorse. So I'm going to get into that in a minute. The baseball trade deadline, there's two big deals that have been made already today, with Boston sending John Lester off to Oakland and St. Louis getting John Lackey for Alan Craig and Joe Kelly, and the Diamondbacks in a lot of different spaces today. We said yesterday, expect Aaron Hill to get blown out of here. Expect some of the Diamondbacks' bullpen to be moved, Gerardo Parr to be moved. I talked with an agent about 30 minutes ago. He said there's a lot of action around the Diamondbacks. They have not pulled the trigger on anything as of yet as we sit here, right here in the middle of your day. So we'll just see how that progresses along. I think, though, the big story is actually, and I know where this is going to go, I'm not one of these guys that goes to Sun Devil football games to be out in the parking lot and to get hammered. And I'm not saying that most fans do, but there's been a tradition through the years as you go out to watch a Sun Devil football game to tailgate, and that Arizona State University, Northern Arizona, and U of A have already had this in place. Arizona State will no longer permit the use of kegs in designated tailgate parking lots surrounding Sun Devil Stadium. This is for safety reasons. ASU and Sun Devil Athletics will not permit the use of apparatuses or engaging in activities that encourage reckless consumption of alcohol beverages, including but not limited to the use of beer bongs and participating drinking games. ASU and law enforcement agencies around the valley, including the city of Tempe, will enforce the amended tailgate restrictions. So this came to me about 20 minutes ago, and already I've had a number of people that have sent me notes on this. Look, when you go to college football games and it's in the middle of the afternoon and it's hot and you want to have your consumption basically unlimited, you're going to want to have your tailgate and you're going to want to have your keg. And ASU has now said no more kegs. Now, part of me is of this mindset. I don't care about what goes on out in the parking lot. All I care about is the team going to compete with USC and UCLA to win a Pac-12 title. That's all I care about. I don't care if, you know what, if ASU loses, that's their problem. But I think the program on the field is in a great space. I have said for a long period of time that Sun Devil Stadium is a dump and needs to be replaced, fixed up, not just a nip here and a tuck there, but actually torn almost all the way down and rebuilt. They're getting close to that. I like what they've done here in the offseason around the stadium. I really do, as I've been over there for a couple of meetings. I was in Coach Graham's office 2 weeks ago, and I like how it looks to the north. What you guys do before the games, I really shouldn't care about it. It's your deal. Fan experience for people to go out, it's getting tougher and tougher to afford to go out to games. If you and your buddies want to go sit out in the parking lot with your lawn chairs and have your keg, and now you're being told you can't have it, I am certain, based on what I'm seeing, some of you will say, I don't want to go out any longer. So alcohol and sports, they go hand in hand for some people. Me, I'm not one of these guys that goes to games just to get hammered. When I go as a fan, I may have a pop or two, but that's it. I don't have the John Abraham or PJ Tucker pop or two, by the way. You know, I'd kind of like to know what that brand is, but I don't have that type of brand. So I'm getting a lot of reaction on that today. The Diamondbacks, so while they're trying to do some things today, they are still in a space where when I see the Oakland Athletics, the Oakland A's, who play in a dump of a hole of a stadium, where the sewer backs up within the dugout hole of a stadium in a really rough part of Oakland, in the shadow of San Francisco, where they're not even, they're second fiddle by a long, they might even be fourth or fifth fiddle up there. And yet, most every year, year in, year out, the Oakland A's are a model of consistency. Somehow, they found a formula. Somehow they found a way. Somehow a team like Oakland can go get a guy like John Lester or Jeff Samardzija. And I don't have to hear about salary restraints. I don't have to hear about how the stadium is too big. I don't have to hear about minor league development. Somehow, some way, if Oakland can do it year in and year out, please explain how that can't happen here in Arizona. And those of you that have watched this show long enough, you know I'm a fan of where Ken Kendrick is in terms of going out and trying to pursue a winner. However, when you have as much turnover and changeover, every couple of years, the management team shuffles in and out outside of the president's position. It seems like every few years there's a shuffling of the deck down in the dugout. What do we have in Oakland? We have a model of consistency with their general manager. And we have a model of consistency with their manager who, oh, by the way, was blown out here, which was just an awful situation and a terrible move. But Bob Melvin has done very well for himself up in Oakland. But I have to ask you guys this. Have you ever found it funny when we hear the reasons why things can't be done here in Phoenix? We have all this debt from the previous administration. Okay, that's behind. We have this stadium that's too big. There was a big story that was put out a week after the season started about how the stadium's too big and that's why it's tough to fill. That falls on deaf ears to me. It really does when you look at what Oakland is able to do. Oakland should be brought up at every turn and every corner when I get an excuse from the Diamondbacks moving forward. Because there's no excuse. If Oakland can win in a rat hole of a place where nobody cares, and why can't that happen here in Arizona? Well, yeah, the Dodgers are going to go out and spend money. You're in a tougher division financially, that's for certain. You know, the Angels are going to go throw money around, but they're not going to throw money around like the Dodgers are doing. So I do have to look at today's deadline, and not just today, but this big broad brush picture. If you were to step back from 2011 to where we are today, it's the last 3 years. And see what Oakland's been able to accomplish. They went through some lean years, yeah. But at least they kept things intact. The Diamondbacks yesterday, they beat Cincinnati. Goldschmidt hit his 19th. That's great. They're home to the Pirates tonight. I saw where Eric Chavez retired. I liked Eric Chavez. I liked Eric Chavez a lot. He was a very good pro baseball player. Handled himself in the right way, the right manner. And I'm sure he'll do well in the post-baseball career. A couple of other things briefly I'm going to get into as the show moves on today, and then we'll have Joe Gilmartin in studio. So what's wrong with sports? What is wrong with sports? Here's what's wrong with sports. The Los Angeles Lakers are bringing in, or did bring, Michael Beasley. You remember Michael Beasley, who turned the Suns franchise upside down, basically stole money for sitting in a jersey and acting like a fool. You remember Michael Beasley, who was toked out? Right? You know, the same Michael Beasley as the Suns were paying him to go away, that he got another check from the Miami Heat this year and did absolutely nothing in Miami. Well, now, because we're in the business of enabling, let's just send Michael Beasley over to the Lakers and they'll give him a check because, yeah, he can play. So you see guys like this that bump around the NBA and it's just marijuana, Brad. It's really not that big of a deal. It's legal in the States. The guy doesn't care. And yet teams still bring him, will be the one that will bring him back. LeBron couldn't even bring him back. So when I see a headline that the Lakers are bringing this guy in for a workout, what's wrong with sports? How about somebody, anybody just saying, no, you're not going to play in this league. We're not going to sign you. Go to Turkey, go to Greece, go rehab your image in Israel on a bus. Go play in front of nobody in Turkey. That's what's wrong with sports. What's wrong with sports is the Heisman Trophy winner, Jameis Winston, was involved in a BB gun battle on campus at Florida State. He was stopped by campus police at gunpoint and handcuffed for carrying a pellet gun that he said he was using to shoot at squirrels. This happened in 2012. What's wrong with sports? Heisman Trophy winner enabled, send him back out on the field. What's right about sports is on the next segment. Joe Gilmartin is going to come in studio in this next segment. He's going into the Basketball Hall of Fame. I've known Joe for the 20 years that I've been here in the Valley, and he's been doing it a lot longer than that. Joe is one of our best kept secrets, still going strong and doing his thing. And he'll join me next on the other side, sports360az.com. AZ Central Sports, we partner with the Arizona Republic, White Mountain Radio, and on Twitter at Brad Sussmat.
Our longtime friend, the sports writer Joe Gilmartin, is going to be given the Kurt Gowdy Award from the Basketball Hall of Fame, and I certainly publicly want to congratulate him. I was fortunate enough to get that honor a few years back. Sometimes we forget that Joe, who, believe me, has been one of the outstanding sports writers in the entire country, I would say for the last 50 years. And when the NBA formed the Writers Association, he was the first president. He's a terrific guy, terrific writer, and I know you joined me in congratulations for an award that's certainly very fitting for a tremendous sports writer.
Zal McCoy with me earlier, Brad Sussmat, sports360az.com, AZ Central Sports. We partner with the Arizona Republic, White Mountain Radio, and on Twitter at Brad Sussmat, the Hall of Famer there, Al McCoy. On Joe Gilmartin, who's going into the Hall of Fame, Basketball Hall of Fame, Kurt Gowdy Award winner. Here is Joe Gilmartin, whose life is changing next week. Congratulations, Joe.
Well, thank you very much. I'm shocked at all the things Al said. I'd like to meet that guy he was talking about. Where is he?
He was piling it on, shoveling it.
Why don't you get him on there? Never mind me.
Send him out of the way. What does this mean to you going into the Basketball Hall of Fame?
Well, it means that a lot of people will realize I'm still alive. You got to look at that, right? Oh, there he is. I thought he left us many years ago. No, it's, you know, it's recognition, and it just means that, you know, I don't fully understand the system by which they select people, but I'm very gratified that the flaws have let me in.
Well, one of those people joins us now for a couple of minutes that wants to congratulate you. The great Sam Smith is jumping on board for a couple of minutes. Sam, it's Brad Sussmat with Joe Gilmartin. How are you?
I'm good. And I want to tell Joe that the system that we use to do this is try to figure out the mistakes we've made over the last 20 years and rectify them. And so that's how we got around and went, oh, Joe, we forgot Joe.
He forgot about Joe.
And it's great. It's much long deserved. It's like, you know, when I was reading the stories about Roger Angel getting into the Baseball Hall of Fame this past weekend, and it's much the same in the sense that Joe's been just a great voice of basketball, one of the great people of the game, one of the top journalists for 40 years, and so it's just a great honor, and I'm just thrilled to see it occur next week.
What do you think, Joe?
Well, I think that Sam usually knows what he's talking about. This time, he's kind of a little bit.
When did you two first meet, Sam?
I think it was I'm not sure I want to tell you.
Sam, let me help you out here. We're right after the Civil War.
You know, actually it was, and it reminds me, it transitioned to my story, because it reminds me of the Republican convention when James Garfield was nominated. And it was on, I think it was, if I recall, it was like the 36th ballot. And I don't know, it was the Republican convention, so I'm sure Joe was there. And when we started the PPWA, it was 1973, and you know, as it often is, the powers in these organizations are in the East Coast. And back then, the writers from New York and Philadelphia dominated all this stuff and were starting the thing. And nobody, you know, there was a terrible fight about the name of president, and nobody from New York would accept any from Philadelphia, and nobody from Philadelphia would accept anybody from New York. And so the only way we got a president was because everybody agreed the one guy who trust, who had the credibility, who everybody would go for was Joe Gilmartin. And then that's how Joe became the first president of the Professional Basketball Writers Association. Mm. And I think that's as good a statement as any, because if anybody knows their journalist, they know their heart like anybody, and certainly not their colleagues. And the fact that Joe was a unanimous choice at the time with my colleague Bob Logan as vice president is a great tribute 40 years ago, and he's just had a great career.
Well, you know, Sam, I will tell you something about Sam. He is probably the most authoritative, well-connected writer in NBA history. Sam knew everything and knew everybody, and I'll tell you how smart he is. He hardly ever spent a day in the winter in Chicago.
No, I'll tell you. I'll tell you how smart I am. I'm one of the few guys in the world who has a Phoenix summer home. So that tells you something about my planning. But I live in Chicago, covering the NBA, and I have a house in Phoenix.
Yeah. There's a house here in Phoenix.
I got to tell you one other thing about Joe that just tells you that he's a journalist and a journalist at heart, because you know, Pat Riley, he came up with all his little sayings, and he copyrighted them, 3 P's to make money. Because journalists are not business people. And probably Pat was, you know, the most articulate spokesman of his era. And so one of his famous sayings was, you know, you're in the playoffs, how you use your players. And he always would say, you play 9, and you use 8, and you rotate 7. Well, he stole that from Joe. You know, Joe originally came up with that, wrote that. And so when Pat Riley is stealing your stuff to do his motivational talks, that's pretty good stuff.
That is good stuff. Hey, Sam, we appreciate you calling in for a couple of minutes to congratulate Joe. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you, Sam.
Congratulations, Joe. It's well-deserved, and I'm just thrilled for you. Have a great time. You'll have a great weekend there. It's a great thing. It's a great honor.
Well, thank you very much, Sam. I really appreciate it.
Sam Smith for a couple of minutes, one of the great ones in the NBA. When you first got into the NBA, what was it like covering the NBA then versus what you see now?
It was like going from junior high coverage to the NBA. The NBA in those days was incredibly small potatoes. It was like a niche sport. It wasn't much better than hockey. In fact, the NBA got started by hockey people who were looking for tenants to put in their buildings when they weren't playing hockey. And for a long time, there was quite a split in the NBA between the hockey people and the basketball people. And it was, you know, there were people, there were teams in those days that had to actually pay to get their games broadcast at all. Now, you go to today when they get these huge sums of money just for that. And when the Suns came into the league, there was no great Pacific push here for NBA basketball. We literally got up one morning and looked at this foundling on our doorstep. It turned out it was a basketball team. There was just no hullabaloo and this and that and the other. Today, it's not only is it grown in this country, but it globally. It's one of the fastest growing sports globally.
We'll step aside here, and on the other side, there's a couple of people that want to call in and talk to you. A couple more. We'll take a break here with Joe Gilmartin, and we'll have much more on the other side. He's going into the Basketball Hall of Fame for the Kurt Gowdy Award. Quick break here, Brad Sussmat, Sports360AZ.com. AZ Central Sports, we partner with the Arizona Republic, White Mountain Radio, and on Twitter at Brad Sussmat. Sports 360 AZ, AZ Central Sports, White Mountain Radio, and on Twitter, at Brad Sussmat. Joe Gilmartin going into the Basketball Hall of Fame, the Kurt Gowdy Award that comes up just over a week and a half. Let's go back to the phones, and we have another voice who wanted to call in and say congratulations to Joe. Mystery guest, take over the talk show.
Joe Gilmartin, this is a voice from your past.
Jerry?
It goes back 46 years ago, Joe, believe it or not. And it's a pleasure to be with you, and congratulations, and I'm looking forward to being with you in Springfield.
Well, thank you very much. I noticed there's a – do you have a golf tournament back there?
There's a golf tournament there. There's a golf tournament at the Wigwam in September for the Hall of Fame, but – there is a golf tournament usually every year that ties in with the Hall of Fame induction ceremonies.
You know, I've seen you play golf. I won't.
Yes, and this is not about my golf. This is about you.
Well, I thank you very much, Jerry. I appreciate it, and I look forward to seeing you in Springfield. Sure. I understand Joni had knee surgery. How's she doing?
Yeah, she had her knee replaced, and... We had been in Europe, and we stopped in New York at the hospital for special surgery, and she had it replaced, and she's doing well. For the listeners, I just want to tell you, Brad, I don't know if I've ever shared this with you, but, you know, in my career, I've been involved in terms of the columnists, the beat guys, in basketball and baseball in particular, but I will tell you, I have such admiration for Joe in his writing style. He was as good as any of them, for sure. He came up with different ways to describe situations, circumstances, and maybe the best thing I can say about Joe Gilmartin outside of his great writing ability, he really loved basketball. He played it. We all often talk about his infamous trip to play in the NAI tournament in Kansas. He was a player. He showed up on the school bus in front of the football hotel, which was the headquarters. They used to have a big board in the lobby that had the brackets and the pairings at the times of the games, et cetera. And when Joe's team walked in, they saw they were playing about an hour and a half later. They didn't even check in. They just went ahead and changed clothes. I don't know where they did that. And who did they play? About a great Tennessee State team. They played well, actually, early, and then they got killed, I guess, in the second half. Coach said, get back on the bus. We're going home. They never spent a night in the hotel. Is that accurate, Joe?
Well, the only thing you got wrong is it wasn't a bus. It was a covered wagon.
That's great. That's great.
Jerry, let me ask you this. If Joe, I was not here when he first broke in, but with the Suns, what impact did he have from a personality standpoint and a columnist and a voice in town when the Suns first came on board and having Joe Gilmartin be that voice?
Well, because he was knowledgeable about the game and he had the writing abilities that he did, he gave a tremendous report on what was happening in the game of basketball. And our relationship was one of total trust. You know, I always felt comfortable being wide open with Joe. Mm-hmm. And he used discretion in terms of what would be used and what would not be used. And there were times when he may have taken me to task or the team or whatever, but we didn't ask any favors. You know, this was all about him having a job to do, and it was respected and appreciated. There's another great story that one of my best, I think, that in terms of memory, is that when I got to Arizona, I went to see the managing editors of the two newspapers about having beat writers travel with us. I mean, I knew that was important for coverage, and I was told by the management that they couldn't afford to send a writer on the road with us. And, you know, I was young and dumb and said, well, if you can't do it, I'll pay for it because we need the coverage. And believe it or not, that was accepted. So 2 years later, I get notified that the papers have decided not to continue with the writers traveling. And I said, why? They said, well, they're cutting back. I said, cutting back on what? You know, I've been paying for their travel. And so we had a problem. We were leaving on a trip to Puerto Rico, and Joe wasn't supposed to go. But he jumped on the plane. We go to Puerto Rico. And after each of the games that we played there, he and I would go down to Western Union, where he would file a story, not with his name. It was special to the editor. But we figured out a way to get him there and to get the articles in the paper, at least in terms of how we were doing. That's one of the great memories, Joe.
Yeah, we had to. Sometimes you have to ignore the ruling from on high. The funny thing is, the paper never complained. They printed the stories, and I don't know where they thought they were coming from. And that was the end of that. Subsequently,
yeah,
the paper finally decided, wait a minute, we do have a
right.
We found a dollar
right.
or two here and there.
We'll make it happen.
Pat, we share so many stories and memories, Joe and myself. And it's a history of the Suns when you think about it. I mean, it really is. And how many people are around who were there at the beginning?
Seven.
And are still around who could
Seven?
Tell
Seven.
You the whole story.
Well, I got to say this. You know, one of the reasons I was able to do my job to whatever, however well I was, Jerry was huge. He knew everybody, and he shared a lot of information about how basketball works. And that was just a big help for me. And we used to tell stories. Jerry always wondered how stories got out, and he kept looking for his leaks. Well, of course, the leak was him.
Jerry, I'll let you go off that. I appreciate you calling in for a couple of minutes.
All right, Joe. I'll see you in Springfield.
Look forward to it, Jerry. Thank you.
Take care.
It's Jerry Colangelo with us for a couple of minutes. Joe Gilmartin going into the Basketball Hall of Fame. Now, you've been to Springfield to cover Jerry going into the hall.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Charles, were you at Charles?
Going I did not get there for Charles. I got there, as I mentioned to you, my first trip to Springfield ever. I flew from Korea to Springfield, Mass. I was on emergency leave, and the Westover Field is a military base right there. And that was my very first plane trip. And Springfield, the Basketball Hall of Fame is just about, that's it for Springfield. It's not a not a destination city except for the Basketball Hall of Fame.
Sure.
And it's something to be there, and the hall itself is quite an attraction. And you go in there and see all these people and one thing another.
Tell me about Suns in Six. Your infamous prediction. Suns in Six, Joe.
That started. It became a running line, but it actually started as a pretty darn good prediction, and it was based on some logic. Later on, it just became a punchline. In fact, at one point, people used to write in and say I was jinxing the team. So I wrote a piece saying, listen, I've been sentenced to six paragraphs of community service, so I'm not allowed to mention Suns and Six again. In fact, what I'm going to do is, and here comes my community service, I'm going to rip the Suns and say they have no chance.
We have another voice that wanted to call in and say hello. Mystery voice, you're on with Joe Gilmartin and Brad Sussmat.
Well, there's no need to disguise my voice because nobody would know who the hell it is. But anyway, it is Jack McCallum. Hi, Joe. Congratulations.
Well, thank you very much. I am certainly, I am odd. How's that?
No, you're not really.
Odd doesn't happen very often. Jack, tell me about Joe Gilmartin and his impact on the game.
Well, first of all, you know, the awards they give, you know, the idea that so many people, including myself, would win the Curt Gowdy Award before Joe is simply ridiculous. I mean, you know, but like any award, it's sort of who's on somebody's mind when they decide to give it. And, you know, these guys that were the pioneers of basketball writing, because I don't know what you talked about before I came on, but, you know, guys like Joe, this wasn't always an easy sell, because even when I started covering the league, which was more, you know, Michael, Magic, Larry, even then it was sort of, I'm not going to say quaint, but it was not the thing. Yeah, it was not the thing to do. I mean, I was lucky. I came along when it became the thing to do because it got so big. But, you know, it was guys like Joe who had to blaze his trail and kind of understood, you know, the game in a very different way than it became later, when it became about stars and personalities. And
money.
I'm just so happy that, you know, the committee got around to doing, you know, something it should have done two or three decades ago.
Well, I thank you very much for those kind words. Coming from you, that's more significant than the award itself.
Not really. And you'll have a good time there. Just don't do what Peter Vesey, before he got the award, said to me. I just decided just to wing it when I got up there. I go, no, don't wing it. whatever you do, don't wing it. You know, say you're 3 or 4 minutes and get off. But you've always been able to say things briefly, so I'm sure it'll be fine.
Well, thank you very much again,
Jack McCallum. Appreciate you calling in for a couple of minutes. Former Sports Illustrated writer, author Jack McCallum, heavyweights calling in for Joe. Wishing you well. Have you thought about your speech?
Yes, I have. And the more I think about my speech, the more I think maybe I just won't accept the award.
You don't want to leave anybody out, right? Because you know when you're in that spot that you're bound to leave somebody out, because there's been a lot of people that you've covered through the years.
Well, fortunately, a lot of the people I leave out are gone anyway, so they won't know they're being left out.
I remember you and I had a situation that we were on the same side of the street on. It was with Paul Westfall. And you wrote a column that you told me later, I probably should have taken the fly swatter out, and you took the sledgehammer out.
I remember that very well, because when I looked back on it, the point I made was quite valid. There was no problem there. But the tone of the column didn't even sound like me.
You were very heavy-handed.
It was
basically Paul's done.
Yeah, and which was true. Paul did not realize, like a lot of great players, he simply didn't understand that it was time to go. And the funny thing is, we used to have conversations in which he said he would know, but like most of them, he did not. But the column itself, it's probably the most, when I look back on it, you know, I made a lot of mistakes, but this was a mistake that was really inexcusable. Like I said, it didn't even sound like what I wrote. And I was very disappointed in that. And Paul and I talked about it later. And he remains to this day one of my favorite people in the NBA. He and Paul Silas, I was very close to both of them. And yeah, that was just an unfortunate, the sledgehammer thing was good. I mean, I'm not a sledgehammer kind of guy.
And no.
I must have had some bad coffee that day or...
Well, and I did the show that day, and I said, I really like what Joe Gilmartin wrote, and Paul was not happy with me, and the wife wasn't happy with me. Wives are always the protective ones. And
Paul's wife, you think Paul was unhappy. You should have...
Oh, yeah, Cindy, I heard from
Cindy,
too.
His wife.
Yeah. When you look back on Suns history, who was the most, when you covered them, the most misunderstood player?
Wow. Well, in some ways... because the word most applies to all about him is Charles Barkley. He was the most everything. Mm-hmm. Most admired, most disliked, most liked, most misunderstood, most understood. Mm-hmm. He was all of those things.
The player that you just couldn't get to open up.
You know, I'm not sure that there was anybody that that really held back. Once you got the confidence of players, and I talked to players a lot, I only had one rule when I talked to players. If they wanted to complain about what I wrote, before they started, I would say, look, I got to answer this question. Did you actually read it? Or are you going on what somebody else said I wrote?
Right.
I said,
right.
If you didn't read it, you go read it, and then you can come back and yell at me all you want.
The player that didn't get enough attention in covering through the years, that you felt like, boy, this guy kind of went under the radar and was much better a player than what he was given credit for.
It's funny you say that, because that player is still playing. It was a guy named Boris Diaw.
Mm.
Now, when he was here, people, you know, he was a sixth man. He got some attention, but I don't think people realized how gifted he was. He got a little bit out of shape sometimes, but he had a great basketball mind, and he could play a lot of positions, and he was one of the big differences in the Spurs winning the NBA title this year. Big difference. He came in when they started playing him. He just galvanized the way the San Antonio offense ran. So he was an unsung player, in my opinion.
When I say Cotton Fitzsimmons, what comes to mind?
Great guy. Little Napoleon. Probably the best NBA coach with mediocre material I ever saw. He could make a lot out of not much. He never was blessed with overpowering talent. Mm-hmm. He had some good teams, no question about that. He could have coached here for 30 years, but when he came into the league, believe it or not, he lacked confidence. If you can imagine confidence.
Wow.
And one of the reasons he left was he thought he was going to get fired.
John McLeod. When I say John McLeod, what comes to mind?
Good coach. Best preparation coach the Suns ever had. Not a great game coach. Terrific preparation.
Best game coach Suns have ever had.
They don't come any better than Cotton as far as the Suns went. He was an excellent game coach, especially when he was the underdog. He did some great things. You know, he engineered what I consider the greatest upset in Suns history when he led Kansas City to a playoff victory over the Suns. That was probably the most embarrassing loss the Suns ever suffered in the playoffs.
I appreciate you coming in studio, and I'd like to do this again sometime.
Well, my pleasure. I look forward to it.
Go into the Hall of Fame and enjoy yourself, and we'll see you down the road, Joe. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
Good seeing you. Joe Gilmartin with us. Basketball Hall of Famer, Kurt Gowdy Award comes up next month. Brad Sussmat with you, Sports360AZ.com, AZ Central Sports, White Mountain Radio, and on Twitter at Brad Sussmat.
Like our Facebook fan page for unique Arizona sports content from the high schools to the pros. Facebook.com/Sports360AZ.
Thanks again to Joe Gilmartin coming in studio. Brad Sussmat, Sports360AZ.com, AZ Central Sports, White Mountain Radio, and on Twitter at Brad Sussmat. So the deadline is going on for the trades in Major League Baseball. And two big deals so far today in my book. There's been some minor deals, but two big deals today in my book, and it's the usual suspects that, and I say usual, it's pitching. Pitching now, this is the deal. When you're willing to give up Cespedes, and you're the Oakland A's, and you're doing it for pitching, what does it tell you? Pitching, pitching, pitching. And if you look at the Oakland A's and what they're all about going down the stretch, they're not all about power. They're willing to trade a power guy that they had under control for another year to add pitching to their rotation. And so to me, it's pretty clear a guy as smart as Billy Bean and what they've accomplished in Oakland, what they view is they've got to have more and more arms and stockpile those arms. And, you know, if you're the Diamondbacks and you're sitting here on the outside, and they may believe that they can compete next year, but until they're able to put together a couple of 3 years of consistency, I have to sit here and point out that, you know, it's really, really hard to watch a team that talks a good game but doesn't come through. I saw where Fox Sports Arizona released their television ratings today, and it shows that the Diamondbacks games are the most popular and that people watch. And to me, that's great. It's great. It means people watch. They're not really showing up. They're interested in seeing a team that is a bottom feeder in the National League West. You cannot argue with me on that. Oh, you're being too hard. You should be the hometown guy. It's great that we have. I'm not saying it's not great. It's just, I don't know. I aspire to win. I don't aspire just to say I have a team sitting over here. You know, I don't want to be San Diego where it's something to do and it's really cool to show. I don't want to be the Cubs. You know, I don't want that. And so, you know, as I'm sitting here doing my thing and Parra's going to be traded. Now I'm getting some texts on that. When I'm doing my thing and I look at the Diamondbacks and they're just kind of sort of there and people accept mediocrity. It also shows that there's just not much else on television too. So you can watch a bad baseball team lose a lot of games and imagine for a minute how big your ratings would be if in fact they were good. So I'm not willing to accept the look at how great our business model is and we're going to be fine. And I don't think Ken Kendrick would accept that either. I really don't see him as an owner that's committed to mediocrity. There are owners that are committed to mediocrity and hitting bottom line numbers. I think the Suns were that way a few years ago at the end of Steve Nash's run, where I'm hearing internally that we just want to fill the lower bowl and we'll put Steve Nash out there and he can't move. Well, that's bad business. It's just bad, bad business. That's why you end up in the mess that they're in over at the Suns. On the Diamondbacks end, you know, outside of watching Paul Goldschmidt, and look, Goldschmidt is worth watching. I find myself, when Goldschmidt's going to come up the next inning, I'll hang in there. Not many other guys am I willing to sit through that around all of Major League Baseball. So today, when Oakland goes out and makes this big deal, and they've added Jeff Samardzija, and they've added John Lester, and they talk about being a little small market team, I'm not going to accept excuses from what's going on here with the Diamondbacks, and I don't think you should either. I'm not saying don't watch the games. I'm not one of these fools that say, well, I'm just not going to watch. But to go down there and watch a team that's just committed to be a bottom feeder, I don't see that as smart business either. And I'm not saying they're committed to it. It's just, guys, get out of your own way. Get something going here. And there's no reason. There's no reason when you have spring training right here in our own backyard that you can't attract players to come here and play. They've missed on entirely too many different opportunities. And so we're sitting here to say in 2015, they think they can compete in 2015 with the way the Dodgers and the Giants just reload and reload and reload. I don't see it. I don't get it. This segment brought to you by Santan Ford, where it is all about you. So I talk about Santan Ford and do so proudly. I'm driving around in my Ford Fusion. For about 6 months now, I've been in the Fusion. It makes a lot of sense for me, the 2014 Ford Fusion. I get compliments if I valet park or if I pull up to some place and they say, that's a sweet looking ride. What is that? It's the Fusion. It's the Ford Fusion. How is it you fit in that, Sesmat? I'm 6'8". I'm a big guy, but I can adjust my seat and be comfortable there. I've got my climate control. I've got my controls for doing business, making calls along the way. I'm not being irresponsible, holding a phone up to my ear. The sync support system makes a lot of sense for me to do business going from place to place. Just like today, when I'm done here, 3 meetings all over town. And it's fine. I don't mind doing it at all. Do the show every day, get together with my family every night, run my kids to basketball practice, over to swim practice, out to soccer practice, wherever it is. The Fusion makes great sense for me. How about you? Are you in the right vehicle? Are you in the car or are you in the truck that you're saying, I love this ride? Most of you are probably saying, I don't know. Why don't you stop into Santan Ford or go to their website, go to santanford.com. Santan Ford, where it is all about you. So the Dodgers have been trying to get in on Price today. Gerardo Parra is going to the Milwaukee Brewers. So the Diamondbacks have traded Gerardo Parra off to the Milwaukee Brewers. This according to John Morosi about a minute ago with Fox Sports, and then our own Jared Cohen has put it out there as well. Diamondbacks acquire outfielder Mitch Haniger and left-handed pitcher Anthony Banda from the Brewers for outfielder Gerardo Parra. So one deal down, Parra goes, and I liked Gerardo Parra a lot the last couple of years. Defensively, did some great things, but I also looked at Gerardo Parra as a nice role player. I need more than nice role players. I didn't see enough pop in the bat. I didn't see enough consistency. The Gold Glove was great. But, you know, as you go up and down this lineup, is there anybody that puts the fear of God in you up and down their lineup outside of Paul Goldschmidt? And my answer to that is no. And they're only getting older. And so they get a couple of players back from the Milwaukee Brewers. Gerardo Parra traded by the Diamondbacks off to Milwaukee. So that's going on. Also on Twitter, John Lackey told the St. Louis Cardinals he plans to honor his club option. No extension at this time. It's according to Ken Rosenthal. Lackey was traded today. Ken Rosenthal, Dodgers have been in talks with Rays on Price with Peterson in play. Pirates also been discussing him this morning. So the national side of it, Haninger, a first-round pick 2 years ago, according to at Burt Diamondback, Steve Berthume, hitting 255 with 10 home runs in AA this year, had a wrist injury, can play center field, good outfield arm. That's one of the players that the Diamondbacks are getting back, a first-round pick 2 years ago. So again, it's stockpiling. Former first-round pick that comes back to the Diamondbacks in exchange for Gerardo Parra, and they also get some pitching back as well. Twitter's been really interesting today, just bouncing around on some of the storylines, and we'll have much more on that. Again, Gerardo Parra traded, and more deals coming down here on trade deadline day. I don't know what to make out of the ASU and tailgating deal that was announced earlier today, that they are now banning kegs, no longer permitting the use of kegs in designated tailgate parking lots surrounding Sun Devil Stadium. This doesn't have anything at all to do with the game. For those 3 hours. And yet, on the other hand, it has everything to do with the game. It has every last thing to do with the game because fans have been used to this forever. Somebody told me that the Sun Devil Stadium was the world's largest belch at one time. That's pretty funny. That when you'd go to games at Sun Devil Stadium, it was just a place to go and get hammered. Well, I've heard that about ASU being a party school forever and ever and ever. Is this more about, I don't know, the fact that you can't monitor, you can't control, you can't contain? It's not just a few. It's a lot of people when you're out in the parking lot. Now, I've been out there tailgating. I have a good time out there. I've never gone into a game blitz, never gone into the game in PJ Tucker mode. Never gone into a game at a .222. Hey, it happened. Never gone into a game half asleep where the police can't wake me up, like a Cardinal linebacker. You know, so it's one of those deals where I get it. I do get it because people go to games with the intent of acting like fools rather than if you want to have this be a place where you can bring your family and really enjoy yourselves. That's becoming harder and harder to do in sports. It just is. Doesn't matter if it's college or pro. And some people will say that sounds old fashioned, but it's just a fact. From a business model standpoint, I get what they're doing. They're trying to be more fan friendly and trying to get people to come back and go to games. So that came down today as well. Sports360AZ.com. We have plenty of content up on sports360az.com that you can check out. We have the recruiting roundup. So the recruiting roundup is content that is around the college football scene, talking about the college football scene. We're coming into August now. And you want to know who around the valley or who around the state is going where and what high school player is the next on the radar screen for Arizona State or the U of A. We do a lot of recruiting content if you go check out our site, Sports360AZ. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. We're on White Mountain Radio, and we're on Twitter at Brad Sussmat. But you can check out our content on the college football side of things. In 2 weeks, we'll be at Camp Tonizona. We take the show on the road. Last week, we were out at Pac-12 Football Media Day. 3 straight days of coverage out there in Los Angeles. In 2 weeks, we'll be at Camp Tonizona for all 4 days doing the show from Coles Ranch. We'll also be in Tucson doing the show for a couple of days with the University of Arizona Wildcat football program. Been talking with them. We'll be down there as well. Every day we do our little thing for a couple of hours, things that I see that are local, 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 local. If you're just finding us for the first time, whether it's on AZ Central or on Sports 360, or you're directed over here on Twitter, you can check out our content day in and day out. We have a staff that's hungry, that gets after it. Day in and day out on the high school, college, and pro level. I'm Brad Sussmat. Thanks for being with us. Off we go into hour number 2 on Sports 360 AZ. I'm Brad Sussmat. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. We're on White Mountain Radio. And we're on Twitter at Brad Sussmat, sports360az.com, Arizona, Arizona, Arizona-centric. Some of the top stories on my mind in the world of sports before we get to Goody at the Movies. It's brought to you by Gateway Airport. Gateway Airport, where it is just plain easy. If you've flown out of Gateway, nearly 40 different cities you can get to. Out of Gateway, it is just plain easy. Go to justplaineasy.com. You can take Gateway Airport and do it at a really reduced price up to Las Vegas on Allegiant. You can go into Oakland. You can go up to Eugene, Oregon, like myself. Go to Rockford, just outside of Chicago. All on Allegiant, all on Gateway. Just go to justplaineasy.com. Justplaineasy.com. That's Gateway Airport, where it is just plain easy. Some of the top stories right now in the middle of your day. Gerardo Parra and the Diamondbacks no longer together. Diamondbacks trade Parra off to Milwaukee for a couple of minor leaguers. Diamondbacks win yesterday over Cincinnati, home tonight to the Pirates. Eric Chavez retires. Arizona State announces, and I'm sure Goody's got something on this, no kegs any longer in designated tailgate parking lots. Kegs are no longer permitted at ASU football games. What are we coming to here? Tailgating, a great tradition, but no kegs any longer. Tiger Woods in action this weekend, which is about the only reason why to pay attention to golf week in and week out. He's playing at the WGC Bridgestone. What is wrong with sports? I'll give you two examples. Michael Beasley getting a tryout with the Lakers. This guy stole money essentially from the Suns when he played here. He didn't show up. He had problems with weed. He goes to Miami. He never got on the floor. Somebody's always willing to enable and give somebody a chance. I don't buy that. Don't like that. Why do the guys like this keep getting chances? We're going to be the ones that can rehab him. And then there's Jameis Winston, the Heisman Trophy winner, was involved in a BB gun battle that damaged an apartment complex in 2012 to the point that the Florida State quarterback was held at gunpoint and handcuffed for carrying a pellet gun that he said he was using to shoot squirrels. Sounds pretty innocent, right? But there's always something going on with Jameis Winston. There's always something happening with Jameis Winston. Some of what's on my mind in the world of sports brought to you by Gateway Airport. Gateway Airport, where it's just plain easy. And now, because usually on Fridays I do this, but I'm off tomorrow, it's time for Goody at the Movies, chief film critic for Gannett, AZ Central, Bill Goody Kuntz. Goody at the Movies. Hi, Bill.
Hey, I'm glad you caught me. I was about to go squirrel hunting.
It's you know, sometimes this stuff is just too easy, right? It's kind of like
I went to college in the mountains of Virginia, where, you know, I went to actually high school where, at a time and a place where you got, only the guys got 3 days of excused absences at the beginning of hunting season. I think it was deer hunting season. I never shot a gun in my life except for Boy Scout camp. But even in a place like that, it's not like people carry guns around with them.
Yeah, I'm just
like,
kind of,
it wasn't like a deer was going to run across the parking lot of the high school or something.
It's kind of like, you know, you can't script this stuff in sports. Like this week, for instance, I'm sitting here with John Abraham leaving the pink pony at 4 in the afternoon, not 4 in the morning, 4 in the afternoon, and he's asleep and they can't wake him up. And he said he only had a couple of beers. I got PJ Tucker blowing a .222, and he said he only had a couple of beers as well, which of course leads me to the point of, I want to know what kind of beers these guys are having. If it only takes a couple to be that blitzed, I shouldn't be making fun of this stuff. But then I have Jameis Winston walking around with a pellet gun. I mean, come on, Bill. These people are nuts out here in sports.
Yeah, but you talk about Beasley and stuff like that. I mean, at the professional level, I mean, you may not like it, but I understand it. They want to win. Yeah, you know, just win, baby. It was like Al Davis, the late Al Davis, used to say back when he just won. But the and at some point, or maybe the college level too. I feel like certainly the big colleges, they feel like it's only my problem for, you know, maybe 4 years, probably not. If they're really good, they're not going to stay that long. And then I can shuffle it off somewhere else. And if you're a professional team, you're a corporation, and you're hiring a troubled employee who you think has talent. And I think that probably every one of these guys that hires a troubled player thinks that they're going to, you know, they think, well, we're the ones that can straighten him out. We're the one that can fix him up. And, you know, sometimes it happens, sometimes it doesn't.
That's like Michael Beasley. I'm just like, come on. Seriously, is somebody else going to enable him? It just drives me nuts. All right, let's go over the movies here. So last week you made like a one-line mention of Guardians of the Galaxy being, I'm not misquoting you here, the best movie you've seen. Is that correct?
The most fun.
Most
the best
fun.
Movie I've seen is still Boyhood, but this This is the most fun I've seen. I'll tell you what. I don't want to give too much away about it, okay? It's basically, it's based on a Marvel comic, okay? And, like, kind of lesser-known, kind of almost punk-like Marvel comic. And these guys are out in space, and, you know, they have to find this mysterious orb, and they're chasing it, and there are people chasing after them. It's like any other story like that you've ever heard of.
Sure.
But it's so much fun. And there's just the soundtrack, for one thing. The cool thing about the soundtrack is the songs are all old, but fun, but they're relevant to the movie. And because of some things that happened that I don't want to tell you, but that you will find out early on.
Well, let me just jump in here. I saw the movie, and we've got a trailer of the movie, too. So I saw the movie, and I'm going to give away some of it. Yeah, it's 2 hours and 1 minute of sheer fun. It's the best roller coaster ride I've had this year at the movies.
This stuff happens at the beginning that I don't want to give that away because it's different. You go into it and it's like, wow, this is not the movie I thought I was going to.
Right.
You know, there's some stuff happens at the beginning. Then something else happens. Then something else happens, and the main guy, played by Chris Pratt, who's also by the way, the voice of the main character in the Lego movie. but he is walking through this cave-like thing, and they start playing "Come and Get Your Love" by Redbone. And he stops, and he does this little, like, he's singing Bolt move, and they show the credits, the opening credits. And I started laughing and grinning right then, and I never stopped until the end of it.
I laughed throughout most of the movie, and the cool thing is I had my 9-year-old with me. And he laughed, and he actually cried at one point late in the movie, and I'm sure you can understand where it was, and I'm not going to give that away. But so it was one of those movies that I'm there as a guy that's closing in on the big 5-0, and I'm loving this because it is to an era, the music, the soundtrack to an era in my younger days. And then I'm sitting there with my son, and he's just belly laughing the whole time. So it's very funny.
It is. And then I will say this out of context, so it doesn't really give me anything away. The line that I've laughed the hardest at this entire year, I believe, is when Chris Pratt's character is saying something, and the guy who plays Drax the Destroyer, the big huge guy, he just says, and he's been so serious the whole movie. He's like, huh? Oh, I'm sorry. I was thinking about something else.
Yeah.
And it just, that guy was good.
Well, it seems like to me in watching that as the movie progressed, the writers got on a roll and said, you know, it's pretty funny here early. Let's just start machine gun laughs here. Let's just throw in as many good one-liners. There's a character that plays a tree in this movie.
Yes.
And towards the end, they just start saying, well, this is what he meant to say. This is what Groot meant to say. Or, yeah,
because
Groot only can say a couple of words. So I'm not giving away too much, but yeah. But that was funny.
I thought it was funny. And I thought one of the interesting things about this movie, the two biggest names in the movie are Vin Diesel and Bradley Cooper. Bradley Cooper's been nominated for 2 years in a row for an Oscar, and they you don't actually see them. They only provide the voices of characters.
Right.
And all Vin Diesel ever says is, "I am Groot." I just thought it was. I cannot recommend it for a fun summertime at the movie. I can't recommend it enough, and I hope it makes a gazillion dollars.
No, I do. Well, I guess at the end, didn't the credits say that they'll return?
Yes.
Of course.
But only if enough people go to this one.
Yeah, of course they will. And the whole thing about Marvel is they've become just this machine where every month they can send something out, right?
They have. And you know, I have some movie critic friends that don't like the Marvel movies that much. I like them. I tend to like most all of them. I mean, I love the Avengers. I thought The Last Captain America was really good. But there is a kind of a sameness to them, you know, where they're sort of wry, they're sort of a little bit tongue in cheek, they're somewhat ironic, and I think that one of the cool things about this movie is it's just they dispense with all that, and it's just like, you know what, we're just going to have fun.
Yeah.
And I hope that some of that will bleed over into you know, the next Avengers is already shooting, and Joss Whedon, who directed the first one, who's the creator of the late great Buffy the Vampire Slayer, he's directing.
I'll let you go off that. I appreciate your time. And as always, stay well. Thanks.
All right. Bye.
There's Bill Goodykunst, Goody at the Movies. So the Diamondbacks, they do trade Gerardo Parr for a couple of minor leaguers. The other big story today is Ray Rice spoke for the first time. Ray Rice, two-game suspension, which is just outraged. I don't know anybody who feels like that's been the right way to go. So here's Ray Rice earlier today on his first comments on what transpired between he, then girlfriend, now his wife.
One thing that I wanted to do today was, you know, apologize to my wife, who I've known since high school. I've known her since a kid. You know, I met her in high school, and she's the same girl now that she is. Great mother, and she's a great wife, and she supports me.
Here is more Ray Rice on a message to kids on this.
I still got kids out there that wear 27 jerseys, and I just want to tell them that, you know, please don't make the mistake that I did. I always talk about, you know, how one or two bad decisions, your dream could become a nightmare. And I was truly living a nightmare.
Well, and she was even more so. So it's an interesting story on that front. It's the first step. I mean, this is one of those deals that I've seen through the years that it usually goes like this. You make the apology. You end up sitting with Oprah. You end up sitting with Ellen DeGeneres. You end up sitting on The View. They embrace you because they want that. It's the female audience. And if this goes the typical direction, if Ray Rice produces on the field, people will embrace and say, we'll give him a second chance. I'm not saying that that's right or wrong. That's just how his handlers in sports, when they have issues, they figured it out. We'll just go repair your image. Sports360AZ.com, AZ Central Sports, White Mountain Radio, and on Twitter, I'm Brad Sussmat.
For original, in-depth Arizona sports news you care about, follow us on Twitter at Sports360AZ.